You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
You know, the reformer, Martin Luther, one of the great reformers that I often quote Martin Luther, he has this beautiful saying. He says this, that you cannot keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. Now, the idea behind this saying is that temptations and worldly thoughts and influences will ultimately come into our minds, but the key is not to allow them to take roots in our hearts. You know, the average Australians, you and me, survey has come out that we spend on average just under 6 hours on the internet a day. That's because we're searching things online. A lot of our work is based purely dependent upon the internet. We're scrolling on social media, we're listening to podcasts or watching YouTube, we're streaming from platforms. Like some of you right now are probably really tempted to look at what's happening with the NBA finals. Don't do that. Don't tell me the results. Or we're all getting ready to watch the Socceroos play at 12 o'clock. There's a few guys with the scarf and the jersey. And we are fixated on the screens, right? And so if we're getting around 6 hours a day over a week, that's a bit over 40 hours of our time spent in front of the screen. That's a full-time job, if you think about that. Because every single day, we're bombarded with information. Messages telling us what life is all about, what success looks like, who we are, where is the latest holiday, how to retire at the age of 50, what is reality, and what is truth. And all these information will ultimately influence our views of life, our views of faith and truth and God. So there's a constant battle that actually happens up here because of the amount of information coming in every day. So for example, right, anxiety begins with the lie that God does not love us and that God is not in control. So we have all these thoughts that comes in here. Or shame begins with the idea that your failure will define who you are forever. Or pride starts with the thinking that you are sufficient and you really do not need God. And so there's a constant battle in the mind of you and me as Christians. You see, at the very beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, in chapter 3, if you remember, Satan's primary weapon to push Adam and Eve away from God started in the mind. His strategy was to put doubts in the minds of Eve. Because he said this, did God really say that? Do you remember? He said to Eve, did God really say that? In other words, the heart of that question is really to imply, can God really be trusted? Is what God says really true? And the strategy has not changed today. The enemy is still the father of lies, and he's still using the same tricks and techniques to push us away from God, to ultimately affect our views of life and our views of who we are and ultimately our views of God. And that's where we find ourselves in the 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Because if you read the 10th chapter, right here, Paul is defending his authority as a true apostle. You see, there were some false teachers who came into the church and they began to attack the character and the teaching of Paul. They started to influence the thinking of these Corinthians, and they eventually convinced a lot of the Corinthians that Paul really was not a true apostle, that he had no substance, and his teaching, don't trust his teaching. They would say that Paul is like all bark and no bite. In other words, he's very bold and brave in his letters when he's away from us, but when he comes to us, he's quite weak and unimpressive. You see, back then in the ancient world, to be a leader or I guess someone society would respect, you had to have charisma and status and rhetorical brilliance. And Paul didn't have these things. And so these false teachers, they were judging Paul based on worldly standards and say, look, you see, this poor guy cannot be trusted, which means that he's not a true apostle, which means his teaching about this gospel or this Jesus, we cannot trust it. And it affected the minds of the Corinthians. And so right here, if you read the tone from chapter 10 onwards, is very different from chapters 8 and 9. Chapter 8 and 9, he's talking about generosity and giving. He's very pastoral. You get to chapter 10, he's hitting them back. He says, how dare you? This is who I am. And I think that is the same for you and me today. Like, we live in a world where if we are not careful, we allow all these voices and all these thoughts and all these lies into our minds, and it will affect our views of Jesus. It will affect our views of the gospel and ultimately ourselves and God. So maybe perhaps the greatest danger, right, or the greatest challenge in this generation is not information, but it's competing formation. It's who is actually discipling us. Does that kind of make sense? And we live in a world where we've got to be careful. There's so much information coming in. And you watch something online and you go, oh, this may be true. This is who I am. And that's probably who God is. So we've got to be very, very careful. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll look at the first part of the chapter today. Let me pray and we'll work the text together. Lord, I pray now that you would help me as I teach and expound your word, and may it be clear, and may we hear you through your word and leave challenged to live differently for your glory. Would you help us all? Would you use me in this time? In Christ's name I pray. Amen. The 10th chapter, verses 1 onwards. By the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold towards you when away. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. So you see what's going on right there? He's quoting these false teachers who claim that he is bold and tough and brave in his letter when he's away. But when he's with them, he's actually quite weak and unimpressive. He's actually having a go at them. Look in verse 3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. He says to the Christians there that we live in this world and there is a war. There is a battle. And that is so true. You know the moment where you give your life to Jesus, two things happen. One is that you belong to the family of God. Like, you're part of God's family, and that's beautiful. You have him as father, you belong to him. But you know what happens? Secondly, you're enrolled in God's army. You're now part of God's army. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he says this, the moment you become a Christian, you become a soldier. The Christian life, friends, listen, if you are following Jesus, I want to tell you as a pastor, is that the Christian life is a battle. There is a war, there is a fight, and you have to learn to fight in this war. You know, during the week in my Connect group gathering, one of my members shared with the group that every time this person's family hosts the Alpha Course. Now, the Alpha Course is a beautiful course where we introduce people our faith in Jesus. Well, this particular guy says that every time his family hosts the Alpha Course, for the last how many years? 5 years or so, there's always spiritual attack. There's always something. And we shouldn't be surprised. We should not be surprised. Think about it. Every time we do something for the glory of God to advance his kingdom, as we plunder hell and populate heaven, there will be resistance. Amen? So we should not be surprised that the Christian life is a battle. And we're in a war, and we have to learn to fight in this war. Now look what he says in verse 4. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. You notice that right there? He talks about weapons that we are to use. Like for some of us here, you know, like you're licking your lips, Pastor, there are weapons. Yeah, There are weapons that we are to use to demolish the strongholds. The word stronghold here, in this particular context here, Paul is referring to anything that's erected up, like a building, a fortress, or a castle. It's erected up to oppose God. And Paul says that we need to destroy these strongholds. Otherwise, they will affect our views of God. So that's why I always say that the demons that we should really be aware of, listen carefully, are the demons that begin to build these thoughts in our minds. They erect these thinking. They kind of, in a way, affect our views of God. And we have to really be careful. You know, as a kid, growing up, I always thought that the demons are the ones that comes out with the cloaks and the pointy ears and horns and the pitchforks. No, don't worry about those ones. They're nothing. It's the ones that begins to build these thoughts and erect these strongholds in your mind, and ultimately you oppose God. They're the ones that we have to really fight. Now look in verse 5. He says here, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that set itself up against the knowledge of God." Right there. He says there's a war in the mind. And he's referring to anything that builds up the self. Human arrogance, pride, false arguments, proud ideas, anything that resists God, anything that makes you feel that you're better than God, anything that puts you on a pedestal, lifts you high, elevated, exalted above God, and ultimately having the attitude that I don't need God, that I can solve this without God, that my wisdom is sufficient. I don't need to trust God. I can trust in myself. This is what we're going to be very careful of. And this is what Paul is referring to in chapter 10. Look at verse 5 and 6. "And we take captives every thought to make it obedient to Christ." And verse 6, "And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete." You see what he's saying right there? He says that there's a war, you have weapons, and you have to fight against these rebellious thoughts and have every single one of them under the lordship of Jesus Christ, that they'd submit under Christ. Murray J. Harris, in his commentary, he says this: "God's ultimate purpose was to promote the true knowledge of himself and total obedience to Christ. This would be achieved only after the destruction of opposition." So can I propose with you three weapons that you and I have and we are to use to tear down any strongholds that might be erecting in our minds? Three weapons that I want you to consider. And if you're taking notes, here's the first one. The first weapon is the weapon of truth. Very, very important. We live in a world where so much information comes our way. What is the truth? You know, the wonderful thing is that the Word of God, the Bible, is that when we spend time in the Word of God, we learn to understand us and this world in light of the Bible. Psalms 119, 105 reads this: "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path." The Word of God gives us direction, tells us where we are going. And the Word of God must be so important for the Christians today, because it is the truth concerning life. It is the truth concerning salvation, humanity, and God himself. That's why at Sun Life Church, I just want to make sure that every time something happens here, it's always based on the Word of God. But the preaching here must be the Word of God. But even better is that my prayer for us is that we don't sit under the Word of God only once on Sunday right now. That we all sit under the Word of God every day. That we build a culture in our church where every single one of us here, we just love the Word of God. Because as we spend more time in the Word of God, we begin to see the truth in light of God. That our minds need to be renewed through the Holy Spirit by His Word. The Scripture needs to refresh our minds. That's so important. That's why I say for the young people, because there's a very good chance you spend more time online than the older generation. And if you want to know what is truth, it starts with what God has to say about whatever topic that may be of your interest. Jesus, he once said these words in John 17. He says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world. You know, we're still in the world. We're still going to have so much information coming our way. But what is his prayer? That you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. You see that? If we want truth about God, if we want truth about ourselves, about this life, about this world, we look into the Word of God. We look into what God has to say. Do you remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness three times? Remember? Satan came along and he says to Jesus, well, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Remember? And what does Jesus do? He doesn't think about Satan's suggestion. He doesn't He doesn't compromise or negotiate. He doesn't share his own opinion or thoughts about Satan's comment. He simply says, it is written. He says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. He's quoting scripture. He says, it is written that man should not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. The word of God is true food for you and for me. Three times Satan would tempt Jesus, and Jesus three times would reply, it is written, the word of God. Jesus understood that it's only through the word of God that there is truth. And you and I need to understand that. Because every sin begins with this idea about God or about ourselves or about the world. And if we don't get that right, that idea takes us off on the wrong direction, and that becomes our absolute truth, and we realize we missed the mark. Does that make sense? Like you watch something online, or you read something, or you listen to a podcast, and you hear people say things like this, follow your heart. Your truth is all that matters. You can define yourself by your feelings. Happiness is expressed through self-expression. You define your identity. That's why hot topics like sexuality or marriage or work or identity, our culture says this, well, your desires determines your identity. What you feel is right must be right. That's what culture is saying. I would say, look at the Word of God. Look at what God has to say about marriage. Look at what God has to say about sexuality, about identity, about work, about worship. Look at what God has to say. Give God the first voice and not the voice that you hear online. That's why I say, here's the challenge for us. Every day when you wake up, you give God the first voice. Don't pick up the phone and start scrolling and allow that to speak to you. Don't give that the first voice. Give God the first voice that goes into your mind, into your heart. Open up the Word of God. Read your Bible. Read it slowly. Meditate the Word of God. Maybe just one verse. Just read one verse and meditate and ask God, God, what are you teaching me about yourself? What are you telling me about me? What must I do today? Start your day with God first. Let Him be that voice you hear first. And I guarantee you that if you and I are people who would place a strong emphasis on the Word of God, there'll be truth. Amen. And that truth will tear down any lies or any thoughts or anything that's building a structure against God. It starts with truth through His Word. Amen? The second weapon that we have is faith. Now, faith and truth are connected. It's a bit like this. If faith is what God says in the Scriptures, in the Bible, if truth is what God says in the Scriptures, faith is trusting in what God says. Does that make sense? Truth is objective. This is God's truth. Faith is trusting that. It's responding to what is truth. So for example, in Hebrews 13, 5, the Word of God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that is the truth. That is the truth of God. God will never leave us. God will never forsake us. And so faith is saying, I trust that to be true. I might not feel that's the case. I feel lonely right now, but I choose to believe that God, you're still with me. That's faith. Does that make sense? For example, let's say Romans 8, 38, 9. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what? Truth, right? Faith is saying, I know that I've messed up, but I still believe that nothing I do can separate God's love for me. Does that make sense? That's why they're connected. Truth is knowing the promises of God. Faith is standing on those promises. And we need to have a faith in that. It's not positive thinking, okay? It's not positive thinking. Faith is not pretending that everything's okay. There'll be moments where things are not okay, but you choose to believe what God has to say about you and the situation you're in. Does that make sense? You might feel that this is not what culture is saying, and I struggle with this topic, but I look at the Word of God, and I know that that's absolute truth. So right now, I put my faith that that is truth, and I'm going to believe what God has to say over what I may feel right now. Does that make sense? So I'll give you an example. Early in the year, we went to the Gold Coast. There's a picture here of a roller coaster. This is called the Joker, and it's like probably the scariest ride up there, and my boys did not go on the ride, and I wanted to prove my boys that their father is a brave man, and I regretted going on this roller coaster, but as I was lining up, I kept telling myself that I'm sure that this is safe. I'm sure that the engineers and the park officers would have done all their routine checks before they opened the gate to allow the passengers and the people in, right? And so here I am, 45 minutes. Was I nervous? Most definitely. Very nervous. Did I try to put on a brave face? Yeah. For my children, I did. And for my wife, right? And as I got closer to that, I guess, the end of the line, and I began to sit into the chair and I buckled myself, was I still scared? Most definitely I was scared. But that's where faith comes in. I had the faith that, okay, that the engineers and the park inspectors and officials knew what they were doing. They would have tested everything. I'll be okay. And I hopped in. And by the grace of God, I'm still here. I thought I was that close to Jesus, but I'm still here. And that's the same for you and me today. We need to use that weapon of faith to fight against anything that's building a stronghold up here. Even though we feel that, wow, culture says that must be true. No, what God says is truth, and I'm going to put my faith in the Word of God and not myself and not culture. And here's the thing. We have to build this faith. This faith doesn't just happen overnight. You know, there are Christians who come to the faith, right? And they love Jesus, and their faith is so strong. But as the years passes by, their faith is weakened. And that's why the Bible says that we've got to actually strengthen this faith. For example, Colossians 2, Paul writes these words in verse 6 and 7. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. You see that? Your faith has to be strengthened. And I believe one of the best ways in which we strengthen our faith is to spend time with godly people. People that love the Lord. For me personally, I can share with you that there's been many times where my faith has been weak. And it's another brother or sister who's reminded me of the truth of God. So there's been times where I was so discouraged and they encouraged me. There's time when I had doubts and they reminded me of the promises of God. There were times where I felt tired and I wanted to give up and they encouraged me to keep on going. This is a personal testimony that as your pastor that I don't have it all together. I have doubts, I have fear, I'm discouraged, I'm tired. But what I've realized in those moments, my faith is strengthened because another brother or sister has helped me along the way. And I would encourage you to keep that in mind. If your faith is weak right now and you want to strengthen your faith, yes, I believe it's in the Word of God. I totally believe that. But I also believe that God has given us as a gift to one another, that we are to help each other have that faith in the Lord. So I say all the time, if that is you, find someone in this church and grab a meal with them. Meet up with them. Let them encourage you. Let them pray for you. Just have fellowship with them. That's what we say all the time at Sun Life Church. Find a connect group. Don't follow Jesus alone. It's very, very hard. Have people who would encourage you when you are drifting away. Have people who would speak faith into you so they can strengthen your faith. Have people who would pray for you. Have fellowship with you. And those things will only strengthen your faith. And as your faith is strengthened, you have a weapon to fight against any stronghold that is building up in your mind. You can tear it down. That's what you and I are to do. Amen? Here's a third weapon is prayer. Prayer is so important. Prayer is so important. I must say that in this season here, I have found myself praying more and more. And I'm so glad because of the pressure I'm in right now, I find myself just praying more and more. And I find that in prayer, I'm just loving God more and more. You know, there's power in prayer. Prayer is not something we just do before we eat. All right? Prayer is not something we do when we just need help. Like God is like a genie that we cry out. No, prayer is life. We need to be praying, people, because there's power in prayer. God gives you strength in prayer, and prayer allows you to be in obedience to God's will and to resist the temptation that may come our way. To tear down strongholds that has been built up in our minds, we need to be a praying community. We need to be praying, people. Jesus, when he was at the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying to the Father, he said these words to his disciples in Matthew 26, 41. Watch and pray. Not just watch. Not just stay alert. He says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Prayer is so important. If you are someone that is always tempted by something, I ask you, are you praying more? You've got to pray more. Pray so that you will not fall into temptation. R.C. Ryle, he says this, prayer is the surest remedy against the devil and besetting sins, that sin will never stand firm, which is hardly prayed against. You've got to pray. See, there was another time, right, when there was a boy in the Bible that was possessed by a demon, and they could not cast out the demon. And so the disciples quietly said to Jesus, why couldn't we cast out? But you can, Master. And this is what Jesus says. And Jesus says these words here. In Mark 9, he says, this kind can come out only by prayer and fasting. There's power in prayer. Spiritual warfare requires prayer. And if there are any lies in your mind, any doubts that you're wrestling with right now, I believe that as you pray, what happens? You bring it to God and you expose those lies and bring them into light before God. Don't you agree that many lies thrive in secrecy? You know that, right? So you hear something and it's a secret in your mind and you don't bring it to God and you just keep it in your mind and you hear these voices. God doesn't really love you. You can't overcome that addiction. You can't change. God will never use you. And it stays in your mind and these lies begin to become a stronghold. And you go, that's who I am. I can't overcome that addiction. I can't change. I can't be used by God because it stays here. And sometimes it's even bad because you find someone who kind of agrees with you. You know, that's why the internet's so evil. You have a certain thought about something and you don't pray, you don't bring it to light before God, and you find a group of people who kind of agree with you, and now that's absolute truth. That's not the way it's meant to be. As you pray, you bring it to God. You bring it to light before God, and God does something in that moment. I believe in the presence of God, he begins to expose those lies and his truth comes forth. So as we pray, we only draw closer to God and we begin to hear Him. You know, people who pray more hear God clearer. And here's what happens. You find yourself stop listening to the lies of the enemy, but start hearing the voice of God. That's why we pray. The lie says God doesn't love you. In prayer, you're reminded that the cross was the love of God for you. The lie says you never change. But in prayer, God reminds you you're a new creation. The old is gone. The new is here. The lie says that you will never be used by God. But in prayer, God reminds you that He loves to use broken people, uneducated people. Throughout history, God will use the weak for His glory. So if you are feeling anxious today, can I suggest you bring it before God in prayer? If you're feeling there's a sense of fear, bring it before God in prayer. If there's a thought that's unsettling, bring it before God in prayer. God has given you and me these weapons, friends. The weapon of truth, the weapon of faith, the weapon of prayer. Truth exposes lie. Faith chooses to trust God over our feelings and circumstances. Prayer brings those thoughts before God and allow His voice to be louder than any other competing voice. And the goal is this: to place every thought, every desire, every fear, every ambition, every selfishness, everything that is against God to be subjected under the rule, the lordship, the obedience of Christ. That's the goal. So I ask you, brothers and sisters, what stronghold is building up in your mind today? Is it fear? Is it anxiety? Is it bitterness? Is it shame? Is it doubt? Is there a lie that you've been believing for so many years? Bring it to Christ today. Hold it up against the truth of God's word. Trust what God says about it. Pray it through. And I believe when you do that, God will tear down those strongholds. You'll win that battle. You'll live victoriously for the glory of God. So I'm going to end this morning with a time of prayer. With all eyes closed, I want to give an opportunity for anyone here who feels that, yes, right now, there are these strongholds that are being built up in your minds. That right now, there are things that are bothering you. Whether it's some past hurts, some lies about your situation, I believe that God will tear down those strongholds this morning. With all eyes closed, if that is you, if there is something that you're dealing with now that seems to always get the better of you, can you raise your hands so that I can pray for you? Thank you. You keep it up. Thank you. I want to see who I'm praying for. Thank you. Be bold. Be brave. There are all these thoughts, there's all these ideas that's not from God, and it's taking roots and it's building this tower, this fortress, and God wants to tear them down today. If that is you, you raise your hands and let me pray and believe with you that God will tear them down. Anyone else? Thank you. This is time for you to do business with God right now. Anyone else? Wonderful. Anyone else? Thank you. Come on. This is good. God is doing a work right now. So as I pray this prayer, would you believe this prayer with me? Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here today. They're battling with some of these strongholds, some of these thoughts, some of these ideas. It's getting the better of them, but today they choose to fight and tear them down. So I pray in the name of Jesus, the name that's above all names, that God, that you will give them your truth, that they'll look into your word and see what you have to say about themselves, that they're a chosen child of God, that they are victorious, that they're almighty, they're more than conquerors, God, that they're made new in Christ, that they're forgiven, that they're ransomed, they're redeemed, God. Will you speak those truth into their hearts? I pray for faith right now, God, that those truth is what they hold on to. It's the reality of who they are. I pray that you'll grow their faith, that they would believe in your truth, God, that they are forgiven, that they are set free, that nothing will hold them back. They are more than conquerors. I pray that those faith, Lord, will just grow and grow in their hearts. And I pray, God, right now, as I intercede and contend for them, Lord, I pray, I bring all those strongholds up to you. And I pray that, God, you would tear them down. You would break every single one of those thoughts, God. You would set them free. You would release them, God. Would you do that work in my brothers and sisters' heart right now? Would you do that work right now, God? Set them free. Release them, God. Release them, God. If I prayed that prayer for you, can you begin to just pray to God right now? Just in your own ways, just tell God what you're struggling with. Bring it out to light and confess and bring it before God and let him do a healing work in your situation. Pray to God. Pray to God right now. And for the rest of us, if there's something that you feel that it's growing, that there's a foundation of a fortress, there's pride, their selfish ambition. It's not that fully erected tower, but there's a foundation. Can I encourage you to pray against that? Don't let your pride, don't let your arrogance get into the way of what God wants to do in your life. Pray against that. Can you also pray that Sun Life Church is a church with a praying culture? That we believe in the power of prayer. That we know that unless we are praying, God will not move in our midst. Can you pray that this church here is known for its passion in prayer? That we are people who really depend upon God through prayer. That there is power in prayer. Can you pray for our church? Yes, God. Jesus, I just pray for Sun Life Church. Thank you so much, God, for your word. Thank you for the weapons that we have. I pray, God, that we would never forget that there is a war that we are in and we're to fight this war, this battle in the mind. May we use the weapon of truth, the weapon of faith, the weapon of prayer to tear down any strongholds that may be in our minds right now. Would you do that work in this community? Thank you so much. In your name I pray. And God's people says, amen, amen.